views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Get fired up for Spirit Fire Radio with your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer. Get ready to shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in these modern times. Bring purpose to your life through practical spirituality and add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. Now, here are your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer.
Hello, welcome to Spirit Fire Radio. It's a joy to be with you once again, and a joy to be with my delightful co-host, Dr. Dorothy Riddle. Hi, Dorothy.
Hi, Steve. Good to be with you, too.
How are you feeling today?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm feeling pretty good. I'm excited. We are starting a brand new month once again. They seem to roll by, huh?
Very quickly, yes.
Yes, I guess rolling by, I think we're going to talk a bit about momentum this month. I think we talk about momentum in some way every month, but this month in particular. So we're going to talk about balance. Each month we spend 4 weeks or 5 weeks, if it just so happens that that month has 5 weeks in it, talking about, what would you say, Dorothy, a spiritual principle or a tool that one uses on the spiritual path, ways we can integrate these tools into our everyday life, yeah?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, so every month we start a new one. And this month we're going to talk about balance, which is so interesting to talk about balance in terms of spirituality. I felt that that was very sort of avant-garde. How about you?
Well, maybe before we get into the topic, Steve, we could tell our listeners a little bit about what Spirit Fire Radio is all about.
Well, it's all about balance, isn't it, Dorothy? Because we are two separate but very equal and balanced educational nonprofits who both endeavor to bring spirituality into people's everyday lives. And on my side of this balancing act, if you will, is Spirit Fire. And Spirit Fire is, yes, a nonprofit. And we have a retreat center in Western Massachusetts and our own meditation practice called the Practice of Living Awareness. That retreat center is really a wonderful meeting ground for spiritual contemplation and teachings. We've got online programs, online classes, and certainly an online thriving meditation, a meditation practice, which we hope you would check out if you're interested in meditation or a meditative retreat at spiritfire.com. And Dorothy?
And I am with the School for Esoteric Studies. We, too, are an educational nonprofit. We provide esoteric discipleship training for persons who have a meditation practice and want to deepen their spiritual practice. We provide that training through study, meditation, and service. And you can find out more about our work at esotericstudies.net. I just want to mention one thing, which is that this collaboration between our two organizations grew out of the School for Esoteric Studies beginning to look intentionally for other spiritual groups with whom we could collaborate, because we became aware that many groups operate fairly independently, sometimes even competitively, and we felt it was really important to work hand in hand with other organizations. And we were absolutely delighted when Spirit Fire said they would be interested in such a collaboration.
Mm-hmm. So, we were interested and excited, and I believe it will unfold into even a beautiful flowerings of ideas and projects in the future. So for now, balance. Dorothy, you know, you came up with the initial idea for balance this month, and I had to ponder, wow, why balance and spirituality? And as I have worked on these shows and done some research and some pondering and some meditating, it's just delightful, the idea of balance and why it is so necessary on the spiritual path or on any path, right?
That's right. And I think we're going to be exploring this from several different directions. It's interesting to me that in some ways we think of balance as being kind of static, kind of calm, you know, things are in equilibrium. And yet balance itself, the whole process of being in balance, is actually a very active process. And there's a quote from Albert Einstein that says, life is like riding a bicycle. To keep your balance, you have to keep moving. And I think that's a really interesting image, that balance itself is related to movement.
At least ease with balance, for sure, right? Because imagine standing mm-hmm. on a bike, you know, without any feet on the ground. It's only until you get moving that you realize, oh, this wasn't so hard after all. Mm-hmm. We find that quite a bit, right? We've talked about movement and momentum quite a bit in many, many of our episodes and topics we've covered.
Mm-hmm. So we can think of balance. Part of this is, you know, balance is both a noun and a verb. It's both a state and a process. So as a noun or a state, it's a condition where different elements are in appropriate proportions. But when we think of it as a verb or as a process, it's the act of being in a steady position. And so that action requires actually movement. You know, if you've ever stood on a balance board, you know, and you're feet muscles and leg muscles have to be working to maintain that balance.
Well, life is always changing, right? I mean, life is always changing, and we're always being, in a sense, put upon by outside forces. You know, it's mm-hmm. physics, at least here in the physical world. We're certainly aware of that. As soon as you feel like you've achieved balance, especially on one of those balance boards, you realize you just think a thought, or you go, wow, this is great. Boom. All of a sudden there's tension again. And you realize you've got to adjust and move and try to find your balance to become mm-hmm. Stable and to become balanced again.
Mm-hmm. There, Steve, one of the really engaging images comes from Tai Chi. I don't know if our listeners are aware of this exercise. It was introduced to me with the name joint hands. And what you do, you can try it yourself. If you stand with your foot next to the foot of somebody else, and you put the backs of your hands together, and then if the other person tries to push you off balance, what you realize is that if you just go back, if you go back and forth, like if the person pushes towards you and you fall back, you will probably fall out of balance. But if instead you move around and to the side, so you're using that momentum, and you create a circle, you will stay perfectly balanced. It's a really interesting exercise.
I was almost trying to do it by myself with my hands. But I realized it's somebody else here with me. But so it really does... There is what I'm hearing as well is that it's also about experience and knowledge, right? Because that might not be one's first response. And so it's about learning sort of ways in which we can receive that which mm-hmm. is coming towards us and which will be most efficient. I find that efficiency is a word that is interesting anyway, that I think will come up again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it's also interesting, you know, if we think about, for example, balance in diet. You know, if you eat only one thing, then you tend to miss some of the nutritional elements that you need. And yet, what constitutes balance for one person may not be balance for someone else, because our bodies have different dietary needs. And what might be balance for me on one day might be out of balance another day, because the environment or my needs might change. So it's interesting to me that balance has this association with calm, and yet it's a very dynamic process.
Yes, and it to me, it is so much about going with the flow. You know, there's so much about going with being able to assess what the moment needs, and can you move along with that? The diet, whenever we think of the spiritual path, you know, of course, me and the esotericist that lives within me, that wants to always think of this idea of this, the three worlds, but also within the personality, that we've got a body, we've got emotions, and we've got a mind. And that we really are constantly working to keep those aligned, and, you know, keep those constantly aligned with our higher purpose, with our truth, or with our soul, or with source, however you'd like to term that. And so I love that you just mentioned diet and the body, because that's certainly one aspect is, you know, we need our vehicle. We need this body to be in balance so that we can be receptive without any kind of distortion or resistance. We all know when we're in pain, the physical body's in pain, we're really pushing up against almost everything. We're not so receptive. Mm-hmm. And there was at the retreat center, there was a woman here this weekend who was brand new as a type 1 diabetic, or relatively new. And so she was very nervous about the food we were going to serve and wanted to carb count. And she didn't know that she was going to be confronted with Tim, who is the other half of the cooking team, me and Tim. And he's been a type 1 diabetic for years and is so learned. I mean, the man is brilliant when it comes to educating people and to just knowing the way the body works and receives sugars and processes. And he said right away, realized he knew quite a bit, and she was asking constantly, what's the carb count for this? What's the carb count? And he kept stressing to her that to maintain balance in the blood sugars, it's a process of learning. The way I process this, you know, oatmeal bake is going to be very different than the way you process the oatmeal bake, mm-hmm. because of your activity, because of literally the structure of your cells, your body's needs, your metabolism. Mm-hmm. So you've really got to know yourself and just observe. But it has to do with just staying calm, you know, knowing, mm-hmm. trusting that everything will work out, and paying attention and observing. She had the most amazing weekend, totally balanced. Her blood sugars were perfectly balanced the entire weekend. She said it was just a revelation for her to realize that the carb counting was really as much about observation as it was about just this strict sort of read the box and know that a carb equals this. Well, it means that on the box, but it doesn't mean that in your body. So all those words to say that to be balanced is really to know thyself, which is the utmost of spiritual trainings, is it not?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Hey, Dorothy, listen, we're at our first break.
Oh, my goodness, already.
We're off and running, aren't we? So we're going to go to a break, and we'll be back talking more about balance and the spiritual path when we return.
In this day and age, if you don't reinvent yourself, you may never find balance, peace, and the sustainable life that is your birthright. Angela Watson Robertson, known as the Reinvention Warrior and the host of breakthrough radio show Masters of Reinvention, is here to help you reinvent every area of your life. Tune in and hear from the best in the personal transformation business and discover tips and tools for positive change. Live every month on Transformation Talk Radio.
Hey, did you know why they call the foundation? It's called the foundation because it completely eliminates your foundation for what you thought your reality was and creates a whole new space where you can have an entirely new reality that is foundationless. So from my point of view, they should call it the unfoundation or the foundationlessness. Either way, there's a big new global rewrite happening again because these guys cannot stop changing. There should be like a Change Anonymous that Gary and Dane go to. and it's happening April 28th to May 1st. You can find out about it at accessconsciousness.com/globalfoundation. It's happening in Paris. Go to Paris or do it online or find a pod near you. These are all the options you have. And what else is possible?
Are you traveling most of your day? Do you want to take Transformation Talk Radio with you anywhere you go? Well, guess what? There's an app for that. Just go to the App Store on your Apple device or the Google Play Store on your Android and search Transformation Talk Radio. Catch all of our live shows no matter where you are. Thanks for listening.
Calling all moms, it's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power. Listen to Vibrant Powerful Moms helping everyday women create extraordinary lives, Mondays at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters N-R-G.com. Discover the healing medicine from the giant monkey tree frog Cambo. Cambo practitioner Ginny Rutherford and professional psychic Todd Rolson have come together for lively discussions of alternative healing medicines from the Amazon. Ginny and Todd bring you Cambo Talk Radio. Tune in each Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific to hear from guests all over the world with real life stories and the medicinal benefits of Cambo. For more information, visit CamboKiss.com.
Welcome back, listeners, to Spirit Fire Radio. I'm Dorothy Riddle, and Steve Kramer and myself are your hosts for this month, talking about balance, and balance particularly in our spiritual lives. And Steve, just before the break, you were talking about balance in the body. I'd like to talk for a moment about balance in our emotions, because we have the three parts of us, right? The physical body, the emotional body, and the mental body. And in terms of emotional balance, one of the things that is getting more attention these days, but hasn't for a long time, is the balance between what we can think of as positive and negative emotions. The listeners, if you're interested, try jotting down for yourself, first of all, the different negative emotions. We pay a lot of attention to those, so we can usually create quite a list, and then see if you can what you can list in the way of positive emotions. I have in my book on positive harmlessness and practice, I have a list of over 40 positive emotions. But it took a while to generate that because we don't tend to differentiate as much. We don't our muscle for positive emotions is not always as well developed as it is for negative.
Oh, that's so kind, the way you put that. it's that we're, I like that you said, is not as our muscle for positive emotions, because indeed we flex our negative emotions, it seems like out of habit sometimes, right? I think it's that we're so familiar with them because we use them so often that we can actually differentiate so well between one and another, and hopefully we'll get to a place where we're exercising those muscles, right? And we'll become familiar with those terms and the subtle nuances between them. Could you maybe mention a few of the positive? I think that would be interesting, of subtle nuances between certain positive emotions.
Sure. So here are a couple. Appreciative, benevolent, cheerful, generous, delighted, empathic, ecstatic, elated, kind, magnanimous, and I could go on and on, but nice. You get the idea. You
know, yeah.
There are lots of nuances to our positive emotions, but we tend not to pay as much attention to those as to the negative. And then, Steve, we can also think about our mental body, right? I know later in the month I hope we're going to talk a bit about the astrological sign of Libra, which is the sign of balance, the scales, right? And it is an air sign, a mental sign. And to me, the dynamic there of seeing many sides of an issue is part of what balance in the mind looks like. Knowing, you know, seeing without being swayed, being able to evaluate many different perspectives on a particular issue.
Yes, breadth, you know, allowing for breadth. We talk mm-hmm. about the observer quite often. And, you know, in esotericism, when we look at the, there's actually a chart of the mental plane, and there's a certain point within one's mental capacity or mental expression that actually a plane of energy, a vibration where the observer exists. And it is on the second and third of seven. It's up high. So you can kind of almost just in a very literal sense imagine that the observer is actually something we would aspire to, because as we observe, it allows us even in our emotions, we think of being able to respond versus react, you know, mm-hmm. that we see that reaction is almost immediate in terms of emotions, but response is a little pulled back. Response sort of allows something to take place. And I find that's very helpful in the mind as well, to try to get some breath, try to get some space, that it's good to be focused, but it's also good to create space in the mind. And I would say that's balance, right? To be able to focus when it's necessary, but also be able to see the largesse of a situation when it's necessary.
I would agree, and I think it's also related to another concept, which is one of the fundamental ones in spiritual development, and that is detachment.
Indeed. Right?
The ability to not have that immediate reactivity, but to not be attached to the outcome, to be able to evaluate without that kind of attachment. Mm-hmm. And Steve, I think it's also related to something we were talking about just in the last couple of weeks, once again, which is our moral compass and its importance. Because if we're going to see many sides, we can't just say that they are not necessarily morally equivalent. We need to be able to evaluate those different perspectives and make judgments about what are in line with our moral compass.
Yes, which comes back to knowing thyself, right? That developing of the moral compass is really about being able to assess the outside world and its relationship to where you stand within, you know, mm-hmm. your inner sort of alignment, and being able to move. Oftentimes we see that where the outside world is, it's something we're going to talk about, right? Tension.
That's right.
Can be tense. Yes, go on.
Before we head into that, you brought up the word alignment, and I think it's interesting to just say a word about, is our balance and alignment the same? And I would say that they're not. That alignment is, when one is aligned, what that means is that energy is able to flow without any distortion.
Right.
Whereas balance is related to whether or not there's bias in the way in which you're responding. It's more of an internal thing, and it allows you greater access to alignment. But I think they're slightly different. Would you agree?
I would agree. I would say that indeed, with it's almost that balance begets alignment. From a place of balance, we have greater access, just as you said very eloquently. It allows us greater access, and that is alignment. So yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'd love to talk about tension, Dorothy. Could we go there? Because it's an important, when I think of a seesaw, right? Mm-hmm. I think of that pivot in the middle and how much tension there is in that middle point. Mm-hmm. But there's so many ways to look at tension as it relates to balance.
Mm-hmm. Well, one fundamental way to me about thinking about tension in relation to our spiritual life is that in order to act, in order to have an effect, you have to come from a place of tension. And let me just give our listeners an image. If you have a rubber band and it's just lying there flaccid, it's not going anywhere. It's not going to do anything in particular. In order for it to have a purpose, have a function, it has to be stretched so that there is tension. And then you can let it go. It'll snap. That'll have an effect. Or it can hold things together by being stretched around something. But it is that it's the tension that's created that then allows something to happen as a result.
Yes, and it allows it to absorb forces.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think of tensegrity, which is if you've ever seen one of those tensegrity models that shows how a system can absorb forces. And our body is actually we use tensegrity in our body in that our body absorbs forces and it doesn't collapse, because between our muscles and our bones, we actually absorb tension, and our whole body is this sort of structure, so we don't lose balance or we don't actually lose our structure. And if you've ever seen one of those tensegrity globes where you push on one side and it doesn't collapse, it actually moves with the force. And so it seems that that it comes back to, once again, how do I absorb forces without losing my balance? And again, that moral compass, right, Dorothea, that reminds me of the moral compass of really knowing oneself, knowing where it is that you've got a moral balance, and moving from that point allows you to absorb, it allows you stability, right? And allows you to absorb anything that's coming at you, in a sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think it is important to add as a footnote, though, that one of the things that can happen is if you become aware that you're, whether it's through meditation or other processes, that you take in energy. And we do this with the breath, right? We take in energy, and then we hold it in tension so that we can do something with it. If we just hold it there forever, we'll burst. I mean, you know, it's negative. So when we think of tension as negative, it's usually because it's not been released. And the intentionality with which we release is, again, related back to the moral compass. You know, what is ethical? What is moral? What is it that we want to achieve in the world? What is it that we want to contribute to the world?
Yes. Mm, beautifully put. Dorothy, we're at a break again. That's going very fast.
Oh, my goodness.
Right? When we come back, I want to talk about an Alanis Morissette song that I love that makes me think of both tension and balance. We'll be right back with Spirit of Fire Radio.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
Amber Teal, founder of The Healthy Edge, is bringing you the hit show Healthy Edge Radio, living with power, passion, and purpose. Amber provides the support and tools necessary for you to finally release the weight and emotions that are hidden beneath the weight. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information on how you can take the next step with Amber, visit GetTheHealthyEdge.com.
Hi, this is Laura Richer, host of On the Verge Radio. Sometimes you hear encouraging messages like transform your life now, become empowered, create the life you crave, and it all seems overwhelming and you're not sure where to start. I'm here to tell you that self-improvement is not always fun and easy, but it is always worth it. The path to creating positive changes begins with releasing the things that have been holding you back. Then you can create a life that inspires you. I know this because I've done it. You can find out more about what I do by visiting my website, seattlehealinghypnosis.com. I look forward to supporting you on your journey.
Gifted intuitive healer and spiritual teacher, Sarah Luce, brings her unique style to the hit show, Small Steps, Big Breakthrough Radio, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in each month as Sarah turns reality on end and shows us how to experience expansive results with simple yet powerful steps. Expect an enlightening bend on what you currently believe is possible. For show details and upcoming topics, visit saraloos.com. That's SARALOOS.com.
Tune in each month to Synergenetic Living Radio, where Rick and Grace Paris discuss the synergenetic way of life, what it means to truly change your perspective in life, what it means to take control of your life and manifest your true desires. For more information on Rick and Grace Paris and Synergenetic Living, check out synergeneticliving.com. Get clear on the life you desire and the current life you are creating and what is between the two. Synergenetic Living, living life loud.
Thrive is what we experience when our mind, body, and soul operate as one. When we thrive, we excel on all levels. Thrive is the mindset that matters. It is essential to our being. Have you ever found yourself looking for the instruction manual on how to thrive? You'll find everything you need to help you feel strong, powerful, and peaceful in your own body. So don't waste any more time. Visit ThriveByJen.com today.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio, where we are at the very beginning of talking about balance for the entire month of October. Dorothy, you mentioned Libra. I'm seeing the method behind the madness, right? This is the month of Libra. This is the month of October. We're talking about balance and scales. You know, sometimes it's got to just be right in front of me. But it's a beautiful discussion. I know next week we're going to talk quite a bit about Libra. I'm very excited. Going to be some juicy discussion, I know it, this whole month. So just before the break, we were talking about tensegrity, and I failed to actually mention where that word comes from. If anybody wants to look it up, it's Buckminster Fuller's work and incredible sculptures that use this concept of tensegrity. But that word comes from tension plus integrity. And it equals tensegrity. So again, it's this balance between our bones and our myofascial sort of the tendons in our bodies. It also makes me think of the Rocky. Remember, Dorothy, when we're old enough to remember, right, when Rocky first came out, it was this revolutionary sort of new camera trick where the guy's running up the stairs and yet the camera stays perfectly still. And it's because there's these points of tension, the camera strapped to the hips, and it allows for the camera to flow in between these points of tension and remain very loose and balanced. And I remember that being this revolutionary invention. But it makes me think of last month. We talked quite a bit about the events in Charlottesville and this idea of integrity and tension, and in a way that they create balance and even moral compass. It makes me think of the Vice News reporter from HBO, Elle Reeve, who interviewed the white nationalists, and we talked about her quite a bit in this just beautifully eloquent and effective reporting, where she kept her integrity by allowing the tension between where she was obviously coming from, allowing her point of view, allowing the other's point of view, and staying perfectly balanced and absorbing the force, if you will, of their, you know, their points of view, which she didn't agree with at all. But it's a beautiful way of watching this idea of sort of tension being absorbed, and integrity staying intact as a way of just not allowing the force of this sort of ignorance in her presence to throw her off balance. It was a bit of the Tai Chi that you were talking about, being circuitous, yes, and allowing momentum and freedom and movement. So just wanted to bring that up because it was a beautiful example, I find, of balance with intention, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, Dorothy, if you'll indulge me, Alanis Morissette's song Hand in Pocket, I think that's such a beautiful illustration of balance. I don't know if you know it, but she sings, "I'm broke, but I'm happy. I'm poor, but I'm kind. I'm short, but I'm healthy." Yeah, I wish I could sing it, right? And she says, "I'm high, but I'm grounded. I'm sane, but I'm overwhelmed. I'm lost, but I'm hopeful." Baby is the lyrics, and it, she says everything's going to be fine. She's got one hand in her pocket and the other one's given a high five. So I find that word "but" to be an interesting, almost like, in a sense, that's this point of tension for balance. You know, she's broke, but she's happy. Mm-hmm. She's poor, but she's kind. She's short, but she's healthy. So she's sort of finding a counter posture to everything to maintain a balance. And I even think it's beautiful to look at this word of everything's going to be fine. There's a flow and a momentum to it. So I think that's got all these ingredients of balance within it.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting, Steve. What I wonder is, do we have the same sense of balance if we put "and" in place of "but"?
Huh. What if we said, right, go on, I wanted to jump right on it.
So if you say, I'm broke and I'm happy, I'm poor and I'm kind, does that create the same sense of tension and balance for you?
Or
is it different?
Great, you just did that. That's what I was going to do. I was like, I'm broke and I'm happy. You know, it doesn't, because in a sense, I wonder if it would say that what she's doing is balancing a positive and a negative, what would be perceived, right, as a negative and perceived as a positive. And the "and" then just creates an ease with all of them if she then says everything's going to be fine. So it is different, right?
It is different.
Static, one seems like it's got more momentum. The "but" seems like a countering of two. And you want to.
It's a contrast, right?
Yes, exactly.
The "but" is the balance between two contrasts, whether the "and" is a connection between two aspects.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, we're talking quite a bit about balance, and I know that she is a Gemini. And she mm-hmm. most often writes about, you know, she's very in touch with the dual nature that she of Gemini. So she's often harping on these counter postures of opposites mm-hmm. and trying to keep opposites in balance. And Dorothy, what I have realized in really contemplating balance is, as we come back to, again, it being a noun or a verb, that it's not always about balancing two opposites in a way that we think of a peaceful world. Is it that mm-hmm. we only know a peaceful world because we also know a chaotic world? That could be said, one could make an argument for that we know peace because we know chaos, or we know harmony because we know chaos. But we also, in achieving balance, could perhaps let go of chaos and find balance within peace. They're both mm-hmm. true statements.
That's true. And I'm wondering if we look at the similarities or difference between balance and synthesis. So in synthesis, we have the thesis and the antithesis that are then brought together to create a new whole. which is a balance in a sense of the two of them, right?
Yes, it's just a different, it leads one to then look toward a different sense of balance because it has been absorbed into something new, correct?
That's right. So it's like if you look at two the contrasts that are on the same plane, like the seesaw, you have a balance point between the two opposites. With synthesis, you're actually going to a different dimension, right? You're not staying on the same plane.
Say more.
So synthesis is it is a creative process, whereas the balance is an equilibrium.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Dorothy, it makes me think of I grew up, I'm the child of a photographer, and I was always with my dad when he was grading photography work, photographs of students. Mm-hmm. And you would want to, synthesis I would see is can I take the whole picture in, right? Can I allow this to integrate into my psyche? What is somebody trying to present with this image? And there's two words that he would always say. One is, there are actually two words we've been talking about, balance and tension. That within an image, there's balance when everything within the frame is equal. You know, there's equal parts to it. And there's tension when two things are working, sort of our eye is darting between one thing or another, it creates tension. And if it's all balanced and the tension is either purposeful or is actually balanced, if tension is balanced with balanced, we get a synthesis, right? So we can actually take it all in and understand what the image as a whole is presenting to us. Does that make sense?
I think part of the process is that in balance is not necessarily a creative process.
Mm-hmm.
It is in a certain sense, but whereas synthesis is a creative process, it's making something new out of two other aspects.
Yes.
So
whereas
not
balance
exactly
can be achieved, right? And it becomes almost sort of static, and synthesis is an evolution in a way.
Yes, although we also know that balance isn't necessarily static. It may appear to be static. But I think that if we try to put this in the context of our own growth, if our only objective is balance, that doesn't necessarily move us forward. Does it?
No, because it becomes static, right? We could say, I am balanced. And
right.
If we only focus on that, it's actually not, will that never be the truth, right? So synthesis is the process of taking in these changes and allowing yourself to evolve and synthesize as we balance various aspects of our lives. We synthesize, right? We become something new.
That's right. But the balance itself is important. So I think there's a relationship between the two.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Beautiful. I love that. So, Dorothy, once again, we're miraculously at a break. We're going to go to this commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a bit more about achieving balance. Like, how does one achieve balance within their lives and hopefully synthesize and create union from that balance? We'll be right back after these messages.
A
Awareness is universal. Establishing a living awareness through meditation brings peaceful, healthy, and creative well-being into your everyday life. The practice of living awareness, Spiritfire's own meditation practice, is built on this belief and is designed for every level of practitioner. Each year, Spiritfire hosts living awareness meditation retreats that allow you to explore the practice in depth at our retreat center in beautiful Western Massachusetts. Introduce yourself to meditation and the practice at the Foundation's retreat. Attend, in silence, a silent meditation retreat focused on mindfulness, presence, and nature. Or be engaged with the meditation sittings themselves at the Deepening Retreat. Start adding to your awareness and attend a meditation retreat designed to cultivate consciousness in your everyday life. For details on attending a Living Awareness Meditation Retreat, visit upcoming events at www.spiritfire.com.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Do you know how to achieve wellness in all areas of your life? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Signs of wellness are a capacity to love and ability to nurture, a sense of purpose, a good sense of humor and plenty of fun in your life, a concern for others and a respect for the environment, a conscious commitment to personal excellence, a sense of balance and integrated lifestyle, and capacity to cope with whatever life presents. Well, people enjoy their lives and want them to last as long as possible. That's why the wellness mindset usually accompanies other constructive, healthy lifestyle habits. By adopting a wellness mindset and behaviors like eating well, taking the right nutrition for the body, exercising, and saying affirmations are just a few things to structure a healthy system of values and beliefs. I will be your wellness coach to help you achieve a wellness lifestyle. Call us at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Tune in to the Psychic Professor's Show, The Voices of Spirit Radio, with international medium and spirit artist Dr. Susan Barnes on Transformation Talk Radio. Featuring a variety of spiritual topics such as psychic art, spiritualism, EVP, psychic development, and mediumship. This hit call-in show provides listeners with breakthrough wisdom to enliven and enlighten their lives. Visit spiritartgallery.net.
Tune in each Friday, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome back to Spiritfire Radio. Dorothy and I are talking about balance on this show and the next several shows. It's going to be an adventure indeed. Dorothy, just before the break, we were talking about synthesis, intention, and balance and the way they all work together. I was contemplating this idea of tension and balance because they really do work together. And I was thinking of a pull-up bar on a door frame. When you've got a pull-up bar on a door frame, it can hold, you know, a 200-pound person doing pull-ups because there's tension pushing on the sides, and it allows you this freedom of movement, allows you to find balance within it and do these pull-ups. But imagine like a pull-up bar on between two door frames and putting another bar across it and trying to balance it on that bar and do pull-ups, right? You'd end up tense because balance is mm-hmm. fragile. Like, I think that's the point that we sort of have come to on this first show about balance, that tension is important, that tension allows one to absorb force and allow one movement within that tension, and that balance is about constantly moving with forces that are coming at you, that life is always changing, and a balance is achieved by being flexible, by knowing oneself. But I would say there's plenty of things that we can do to, you know, achieve this sort of active balance in our lives. We talked earlier about body, mind, emotions. You know, it's to stay flexible, keep an open mind. watch when you're getting resistance. If something hits you and you're right away hard and resistant to it, you talked earlier about the rubber band and how it can absorb force. We want to stay flexible like that rubber band, yet taut and firm, knowing ourselves, knowing our moral compass, where we stand. But gratitude as well, we always tell people here at Spirit Fire, three things will keep you in balance, and that is meditation, gratitude, and time in nature. There's just something about nature that allows us to, in a sense, to be absorbed within it, and just offers a sense of calm and a sense of balance. And I find that gratitude is a way of synthesizing, right? It's a way of sort of taking in all that we've received, that goodness that's really innate to us, and allowing it to penetrate our lives by being grateful. We allow it in, and we allow it to even just really integrate into ourselves, so that we sort of become that positive sort of receptor of all things good. And it makes us feel sturdy, makes us feel balanced. Any mm-hmm. ideas from mm-hmm. you?
Well, I think about a couple of things, Steve. One is, I think balance requires trimming away irrelevant factors. Because if you have... If you are, let's say you're on a high wire, you're balanced on the high wire, and somebody hands you something heavy in one hand, it's going to be very difficult to rebalance so that you can stay on that wire. And whatever was handed to you may be irrelevant, actually, to the experience that you're having. So being very, very clear that there are many factors that surround us that could affect us, and the need, you know, you were talking about that whole awareness of identifying without necessarily absorbing, without necessarily taking in. For me, one of the ways of doing this, one of the ways of helping me make sure I stay in appropriate active balance is to spend quality times with others that have similar values to me, or a similar moral compass. So they're making similar kinds of decisions to what I might be making.
Mm.
Now, I'm aware that in terms of life, I need to not just stay with people that are like me. You know, I need to experience a whole gamut, but I need to have some time, just as I need to have time within myself for meditation. I also need companionship of like-minded persons.
Yes, if it's really not suiting you, but just throwing you off, then yeah, it certainly could be considered irrelevant mm-hmm. and trimmed away, as you say. Mm-hmm. Indeed, yeah. I find a sense of humor is really wonderful too in maintaining balance. It allows things not to settle, you know, to just sort of be static within us. I find, you know, they say laugh it off. It again becomes that trim away to mm-hmm. sort of to respond and not react in sense of pushing away immediately and creating a force that bumps up against another force, or to not absorb, you know, they say observe, don't absorb. So both of those, I find that humor is a wonderful way to both not absorb and not react, and can do so much good in somebody's life, can bring a lot of balance, right, to somebody's life.
Mm-hmm.
And detachment, well, Dorothy, you've talked about detachment. We've talked about that quite a bit. You know, that really can mm-hmm. help as well.
Mm-hmm. And an aspect of that is being able to set boundaries, you know, to say this is several different types of boundaries. One is this is for me to do, this is for me to focus on, and this is not for me to do or to focus on. It's like defining what's important. You know, where do I want my energy to flow, and where don't I? So, in order to remain balanced within myself, I need to have boundaries that don't just absorb everything that's around me, and kind of so that I'm continually being knocked off balance by the external forces.
Yeah, we always hear that term, firm boundaries. And again, there's this idea of tension. I even once again think of the pull-up bar that's in the doorframe, mm-hmm. and boundaries as firm boundaries, as actually that tension that holds your boundaries in place so that mm-hmm. you can move freely within those boundaries, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. You can sort of be the calm in the middle because everything is taught.
I have to share with you an image from my mother, who is a nutritionist, and she would talk about the importance of having, when you think about your energy field, of having a semi-permeable membrane as the boundary of your energy field. So it lets in what is relevant, what you need, the nutrition that you need, but it keeps out what would be detrimental, what would detract.
Yes. Wow. Once again, right? Self-knowledge is key to know what we will allow in and what we don't, and observing ourselves and just catching ourselves being thrown off balance. You know, sometimes you've got to just be thrown off balance so you know what balance feels like. So listeners, don't sweat it if you're thrown off balance often. Just keep on listening to Spirit Fire Radio, and by the end of the month, you're going to have it down. Dorothy, that went so fast. That's the end of the show.
Oh my goodness.
It's been delightful. So, you know, next week we mentioned this, you know, inner and outer lives and keeping mm-hmm. that balance between the two. That's so important on the spiritual path is sort of understanding ourselves, and are we matching? Are we living our truth in terms of our outer lives as well? Because if they don't match, they're not congruous, or there's, you know, not harmony and flow between them, it can create some drama. So we're going to talk about that next week, balancing our inner and outer lives and how to maintain balance between the two.
Excellent. I look forward to it, Steve.
Wonderful. So listeners, all of our archives are at spiritfireradio.com. And if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to send us an email to spiritfireradio@spiritfire.com. Dorothy, as always, it's been a pleasure. And I look forward to next week.
Me too.
All right.
Take care.
Bye, listeners.
Thank you for listening to Spirit Fire Radio. Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern, for your weekly guide to purposeful living and practical spirituality. Join hosts Steve Kramer and Dorothy Riddle as they shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in your everyday life. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. To learn more, visit spiritfireradio.com.